Another episode of Pod Nuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Today is Wednesday, March 18th, and I am here with my good friend, Mr. Matt Rainey, and we are going to have a splendid kick-ass show. Well, I hope we do, but Matt, how are you, sir?
I am fantastic. Thank you. And how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. It's been 1 week since I brought the wife home from the hospital. She's doing much, much better. And life is getting back to normal for us. The new normal. But she's home. She's been able to come to work and do a few things here. So that has been pretty good. She's getting a little tired. She forgets that, you know, she was in bed for basically 5 weeks. And her energy's back and all of that stuff, but she forgets that her body's got to recover, but she's doing good.
Good, good. Glad to hear it.
And so it's been a while, my friend. What have you been doing?
It has been a while. Took a few trips. Luckily, I got those in. I was in the fine state of Florida.
I was going to say, you came here and did not tell me.
Well, I wasn't exactly near you. Disney World, happiest place on earth.
Okay, but you know I've made the trips to Orlando to see, you know, John Dubinsky, Paco LeBron. I've made the trip to Clearwater in Tampa to see Mike Smith.
But see, you wouldn't have been able to come anyway.
Well, true.
You were dealing with some other stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't have left the wife.
And you might have thought in your head, well, I didn't go see Matt, but I did go see everybody else. Maybe he thinks I don't want to go because it's him. So, see, I didn't put you in that position.
Oh, you were sparing me.
Yes, I was sparing you.
Okay.
Listen, Disney World is
the greatest place on earth.
Yes, it is. It is quite hectic. Busy from early morning to late at night.
Hmm.
I mean, especially if you're going to hit the... Have you gone to Hollywood Studios for the Star Wars stuff?
I have not been. So let's say I've not been to Disney World since I was a kid. I've not been to Hollywood Studios since college. I was at SeaWorld about 15 years ago. And I've driven by many, many times since then.
Okay. So driving by you don't really get any effect driving by, but, you should go. It's really pretty nice. And I haven't been in 11 years, but I was actually kind of dreading the trip.
What?
Yes, because.
Wait, well, let's go back. Was this a family trip?
Yes.
You brought the girls? Was it like the last hurrah?
No. Because they want to go back.
Oh, of course.
No, it's not the last hurrah for anything because they have trips planned. New York, Grand Cayman, they have trip planned everywhere. They want me to take them. In their mind, it's already planned. So, no, I just remember a long time ago how exhausting it was. And when you're done with Disney World, you need a vacation. But it wasn't that bad. And yes, we did get up like at 5:30 in the morning, get to the park an hour before it opens, stay there till not get back to the hotel till 10, 11, sometimes midnight, and do it again for, you know, 7 days. It's exhausting, but it was a good time. Right. Nobody really felt the impact of not sleeping much because you're doing stuff all the time.
Right. Now, did you stay on property?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's one of the key things to do. And you mentioned, have I been there? So did you see all the new attractions? Because there's a lot of new stuff there.
There's a lot of new stuff. The main stuff is, of course, in Hollywood Studios, the Star Wars stuff.
I was gonna
the big
ask.
Thing is now is the rise of the Resistance, right? So it's a relatively new rise, only been open for, 5 months or so. And let me tell you, the crowds. This was over the Mardi Gras break. So a lot of people should be in school. It was so packed in there. It was ridiculous. Last time I went was Thanksgiving week. And I didn't think that was crowded. This week was full of, and it's not because most of the world country has school that week. Louisiana's off for Mardi Gras. And I thought, well, even if you have Mardi Gras, Louisiana people there, it shouldn't be that crowded. Oh my God.
Well, you got to remember, March begins the spring break season.
We were before that because we were the last week of February.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But it was jam packed, and mostly it was overseas visitors, and they were either speaking a different language or they're wearing LSU gear or Saints gear.
Okay. Well, speaking a different language is no big deal down here because we have that all the time.
Well, yeah, but that's, I took that to mean they weren't. They were visiting.
So speaking it differently. So speaking non-English or non-Spanish, is that what you're trying to say? Okay.
Yes. Right.
Because Spanish is pretty much the dominant language.
No, it wasn't Spanish. Okay. It wasn't Spanish. So it was back good time. But the rise of the resistance. Let me tell you this. Since you've never been, I'm going to tell you the joy of getting.
But I'm going. You know, I got the free trip to San Diego. I'm going to go to Disneyland.
But they don't have Rise of the Resistance in Disneyland. They're different?
I thought they were the same.
Is there Rise? I don't think they have Rise.
Then I got to go to this one and go to that one.
Yeah, yeah. So here's the thing. Here's a lot of
work to be a Star Wars fan.
You've got to be. There's an app. There's no Fast Pass.
There's an app for that.
There's no Fast Pass in advance. Like, you can't book Rise of the Resistance early. You can only go on the app when you're in the park. To get on the ride,
it doesn't work outside the park.
No, it doesn't work until you're scanned into the park.
Oh, okay.
And at 8 o'clock, the app starts to work, and you've got to open the app. You've got to go on the app and hit request boarding group at 8 o'clock, and hope to get a boarding group. That's a relatively low number. So here's the thing: the first day I was there was a Thursday. I opened the app at 8 o'clock. I hit request boarding group and I got something went wrong. So I closed the app, reopened it, hit request boarding group. I got like boarding group, I don't know, 72. And I thought, well, I don't know what that means. I mean, okay, whatever. I got boarding group 72.
Right.
I find out that most times they'll get to boarding groups 120, 130 in a day. So I thought, well, no big deal. But guess what? Oh, let me go back. I'm in a big crowd of people, right? Because you can get in the park an hour before the park opens, right? You can scan through and you can go get in line, like for a ride and wait there. So you're in the park and you're at 8 o'clock, everybody's doing this and you hear all the cheers from people in the crowd that they got a good boarding group number. And of course you got people upset. That they didn't get it. So you hear a lot of, whoo, yay, and a lot of, oh, you know, depending on what boarding group they got. Anyway, they had ride malfunctions on Thursday. So they stopped the boarding group at 68 for the day. So I didn't get on. Well, my plan was to go back Friday anyway, because there's so much to do there. And the next day I got boarding group 17. So I rode it right away. But it is a very good ride. But it's just tricky to get on it, especially if it's crowded, because if you don't open that app at 8 o'clock, you're not by eight o'clock in 20 seconds, it's already full for the day.
So it truly is like the Big Bang Show where they're trying to get tickets to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And you're all sitting in a room with a laptop trying to click, 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 click.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is.
I don't know if I can do that.
Well, the first day I made a mistake because I was the only one who had the app on my phone. But then I did some research and talked to people, mainly the guy next to me in line. And he told me, no, everyone in your group has to do it. And you all got to be doing it at 8 o'clock. And one of you hopefully will get in and the other ones will just get an error.
Oh, okay. That may be troublesome for us. I can't trust my wife with an app.
Well, I'm the one who got it. The other three.
I'll be with the Millers. You know what? I got this covered. I'll be with the Millers. So we're getting in. We'll probably be in group like three.
That after they broke down, after we got an alert that they weren't going to board our group, I went to customer relations to see what's going on, what they can do. And they couldn't do anything. But then I was listening to other people complain, and people were saying, I was here at 8:05. 8:05? You know what? That's too late. You got to be in there. And that's what I said. If you're not doing the app at 8 o'clock in 10 seconds, you're probably going to miss it.
Yeah, that's, 8:05 is light years.
Yeah.
Late.
So there was definitely some cool stuff. Now, the only thing I didn't do that I didn't know even to do was to book a reservation at Oga's Cantina. So it's a replica of the cantina in Star Wars where you can go have a drink, which is supposed to be really, really cool. But you got to book it months and months in advance. And I didn't know that, so I didn't get to get in there. But I'll do that next time.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so let me write this down. Book the cantina.
Yeah, Oga's Cantina. And I think it's a two-drink. I think you have to get two drinks, at least two drinks. Or maybe it's a two-drink maximum.
It's a two-drink minimum.
I think it might be a two-drink maximum. But the thing is, there's a cup. There's a tiki cup that you can only get in that cantina. And if you get a certain drink, now say $45 for the drink and the cup. I know you can say it, $45. But if you go look on eBay, people are selling that cup for like $200 because it's such a cool little tiki Star Wars themed cup. Anyway, I wanted to do it. I didn't do it. I don't care about building my own lightsaber, which you can do. I don't care about building my own droid. I wouldn't have minded the drink.
Wait a minute. So even you, with Matt Rainey money, did not buy the drink?
I couldn't. I couldn't even get in.
Oh, that's right. You weren't in.
I didn't care about, people like to
build
their own
star.
Did you
walk up to the thing and say, don't you know who I am?
I did. Well, they knew who I was, but not. Well, if it's not so crowded, you might be able to get on standby. But since it was so crowded that week, I couldn't get in.
All right, so I got to do some mega research before I...
Yeah. Now, you've heard about where you can build your own lightsaber, right? It's like $200. You can build your own lightsaber.
No, I don't know. I don't even look for that stuff.
But the thing is, I'm like, if it's a real lightsaber, I would buy it. Like with a real laser that can cut people's arms off. But it's not. It's just plastic. So you can build a real replica. But they say, oh, you want to build a real lightsaber? Yes, a real one. Not a replica of a toy.
So you
one.
Can go to the dollar store and get those materials. And
now they're really nice. They're heavy duty. It's a movie prop quality. Okay. Yes, but it's still not real. I mean, I'm not going to defeat Darth Vader with it. So
all right.
I don't need that. Okay. One last Star Wars thing.
Go ahead.
You have got to, anybody listening here, okay. Anybody listening, but you especially, you have to go on YouTube. And you have to search for the Star Wars Christmas special. Okay. And you've got to watch that.
Like from 2019?
No, from 1978.
What?
Yeah.
So if I haven't watched it in 40 years,
it only aired once. It only aired once. It's never been released anywhere else. It's been called the worst 2 hours of television history. It's god awful.
It's 2 hours and of horrible TV and you want me to watch?
It's like an hour and 40 minutes. It's so funny. It's so bad. It's funny. You have got to watch it. I'm serious. It's hilarious. It's so bad. It's so bad.
Could they have done a Mystery Science Theater out of it?
I'm sure somebody has, but this thing is bad. I'm going to tell you what, it gets so bad that at one point, you've got Chewbacca's son watching someone read an instruction manual.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but that sounds funny.
Does it sound like good TV to watch to watch someone else watching an instruction manual being read to them? I mean, what is this? It was ridiculous. There's like Chewbacca's father is watching like soft porn on a virtual reality headset. It's pretty bad.
Wow.
It's bad.
Okay.
I sent you a link to it.
I was going to say, we'll put that link in the show note.
And yeah, that's got to be number one. Number one.
Feel free to send us your thoughts on that.
I'm telling you, people have got to watch it. And I don't know, there's nothing Christmas about it.
It's an hour and 37 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, and wait, nothing... wait. So I click on the link and it says Star Wars Holiday Special, the 1978 nice copy.
Yeah, because there's a lot of bad copies with like somebody playing it on their VCR with filming it with a camcorder. There's some really bad quality. This one is about as good a quality as you can get for 1978. It's really, you wouldn't even know. I mean, it's like you're watching 1978 television. So it's not high def, but it's so bad. It's one of those things that is so bad you have to watch it.
Okay, so this would have been great if you'd have told me this like 3 weeks ago, because while the wife was in bed, I could have watched this. And because, you know, all of our shows, I couldn't watch. Everything stuck on the DVR because I wouldn't watch them without her. So I was watching some pretty horrible TV.
Okay, well, keep this on your list from when you're nothing to watch. All right. Because there's, you know, when there's no sports because nobody's playing sports.
Yes.
You can watch this.
All right. So there we go. I will have that in the link. The Star Wars Holiday Special. It's funny because it's the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right. So you know what? Let me do this, because since we talked about the fact that there's no TV, we're watching stuff. And I know that I want to get a little bit of tech in here, because you and I will probably talk about a lot of catch-up stuff. But one of the things that I wanted to do is talk about Corey Fruitman from Instant House Call sent me a link that he wanted me to share, that for techs that are wanting to do things to help their customers work remotely from home, Instant House Call is now including free sub accounts for the program, so that you can either give them away free to your customers or charge them, but you'll be able to set up remote access for your customers. You basically set up unattended access at their office and then give them a specialist sign in at their house. And that is going to be included on all accounts of Instant House Call. If you have not yet tried Instant House Call, I have. I just did it because I wasn't using it. I had, you know, my SolarWinds that I do, and I have my own in-house appliance that I've used. But I did need something for my customers who did not want to pay $49 plus to use LogMeIn. So this was something when I saw Corey announcing this, I talked to him. So we mentioned that. So if you've not used Instant House Call, I'm going to put a link in the show note also that you can go over and try Instant House Call. You can sign up for it. And when you do that, just let them know that I think there's a referral in there. Just let him know you came over from Podnuts, and he will give you a discount for signing up with Instant House Call. You've heard Mike Smith talk about it, how he uses it, and it is a great tool. I actually, when I signed up and set it up, it actually is pretty nice, pretty quick program. And it also has some built-in features that you can do some troubleshooting and auto PC repair. A lot of tools that you techs will like. So wanted to mention that. And what else did I want to mention? I wanted to mention, I can't find my paper. So, Matt, did I lose you?
No, this is pretty nice. So, I'm looking at his website now, and even the starter one apparently has the free sub accounts, which is Very nice. Yeah. Yep.
So there's a whole thing with that. And so I actually use that. I've got a not-for-profit that even though they're on my management plan, sort of, I wanted to give them something so that they could remote in. There's only two of them. So I did this for them. And I may use it for one other client, but all my other customers are taken care of. They're all doing remote already. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, that's nice. I think I may actually sign up for this because I do.
Well, wait till I get the link up and then you can use the link.
Okay. So we've had Log Me and Rescue for as long as I can remember.
Wow, you're still using that.
Yes, but we went down to only two accounts. We used to have more. We went down to two, but frequently, almost every day, we can't get in. We need more than two.
Right.
So this would be nice. I could do this for me and let my techs fight over the two other ones, and I could use this for myself.
All right. Let's see here. What else we got? So you probably haven't been listening to the show.
Yeah. So, but don't take it personally because I haven't listened to any tech podcasts. Save a couple. I listened to the one where you said it got personal because I wanted to know what was going on because I hadn't listened in a while. And I think I listened. Was there one where you had Carrie on?
Yes.
I listened to that one, although he said he felt uncomfortable because I wasn't talking enough. That was.
Wait, do you know what he's talked? Did you? He was referring to when we were in.
Yeah, in your suite.
Yes.
In your VIP suite.
Yes. Yeah. Wasn't VIP.
I think it was like three times bigger than my room. What are you talking about?
That's because it had an executive boardroom in there. It wasn't VIP.
Yes, that's what I mean.
So, well, here's the thing. So there's four of us in there who are all podcasters.
Let's correct that. There was three of y'all in there that are podcasters.
No, you're counted
among them. There's one occasional guest, an ex-podcaster.
You're counted among them. But it was funny when he was saying that because, you know, the three of you are all storytellers and all eloquent with your speech and much more talkative than I. And I was just worried about how I was going to balance the talk amongst the three of you.
And see, if I didn't talk a lot, it's because I don't like talking over somebody. Because if they've got a story going, I don't want to break their momentum and interrupt their train of thought. So, but there was so much going on there. I chimed in when I thought it was appropriate.
Okay. And that was true. And there was a studio audience there, you know, cat calling in the background. So that was fun. And of course, adult beverages were also in play.
I'm having some right now.
No, I'm having water.
This is like water.
just because it goes down like water.
It's some nice bourbon. My newfound love.
No, I don't have adult beverages at the office. I have angry tea, but I didn't want to drink that tonight.
I'd be angry if I was drinking tea as well. But no, I'm at my home office, which I call the Matt Cave. Plenty of alcohol in here.
All right. Well, I was going to ask you if you'd listened to the one where I talked about a good copy vendor story.
I saw that one, and I wanted to listen to it, but unfortunately, I did not.
Didn't intrigue you enough.
And no, it did. And I saw that one, and I saw the personal one at the same time. But of course, I went to the personal one first. Mm.
Okay.
But that's on my list next.
All right. Well, you listen to that, and when I have you back, we'll ask about it, because I wanted to get the what would Matt do version.
I've had a good copy vendor once in a while. But they're very few and far between.
Okay. So we'll skip that and let's go to another. Let's do another. What would Matt do? So I had a customer and I call them a customer versus a client because they won't sign up for any sort of contract or managed service plan or anything. And we've been doing this song and dance for 4 years now. And on Monday, well, let me take this back. It actually goes back before then, but to get to make it short, they've been calling and calling and calling my office, but not leaving a message.
Oh, I hate that.
So I don't call back. I've been on the phone. Of course, the wife was out, so she wasn't here to answer the phones either. And when I finally did call them back, when they finally left a message, you know, the girl was complaining that, and I said, you do understand that we have a pandemic going on and I'm taking care of our current clients and the wife has been out and in the hospital. And so she said, oh, okay. And apologize. Well, of course, they want remote access now.
Yep.
And not only do they want remote access, apparently since November, they have been working on this cybersecurity guidelines that they needed to respond to because one of their clients was going to drop them. Again, this is a law firm. And I've had this happen already before where they have either an insurance company as a client or they've got, you know, companies that want to know that their data is secure. So they've had these guidelines that they've had to respond to since November, never contacted us, never told me about them. And now they have to respond by April 1st or they're going to lose a bunch of their cases. And
they've had this April 1st deadline for quite a while, right? You said since November?
At least since November. That's November's when they actually submitted their response. And so I said, well, first of all, I need to see what that response is to know whether or not we can do that for you and how much work I'd have to do. And so I got that from them. And it was all this stuff about, you know, our network administrator will, you know, put in place a password management system. He will install firewalls. They will, you know,
really?
Set up Android. So they're doing all of these things that they said their network administrator will do, but they never told their network administrator.
Who was their network administrator? Is it you?
Apparently it's me. I said, okay. But then I told him, I said, well, this is something that's going to take 30 days to implement minimum. One, that would be the normal time because I've got to come out there and do a formal network assessment because I already know that I'm going to have to upgrade a bunch of their equipment. They've got Windows 7 stations. They've got a switch from 1978. They've got...
from when the Star Wars special came out.
Wow. So I already know they have no firewall. I mean, they've got
probably Probably a hub.
Maybe. But it's also a shared space where there's like three or four other law firms on this floor, and they share this tiny little server closet.
Who is their IT person?
Don't know.
Okay.
Do not know. And I suspect that they had conversations with this other IT person, and they only call us when they really need help. So we've been out there maybe five times in the last 4 years. But now they want us to take over this stuff. So they're scrambling. They're trying to get me to, you know, we need to have this done. And I said, well, if you'd involved me back in November, we'd have it done. But as the way things are now, and this is what I told her this, I actually told her this yesterday. You cannot leapfrog my existing clients in this time of need.
Yeah.
So my question to you, what would Matt do if somebody, you know, and you're probably going through something similar, I think, where you've got customers who didn't want to do anything, don't want to do anything. They don't want to pay you for anything. But now all of a sudden they want to work remotely. They've got all these things that have to be done now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would most likely tell them once my commitment to my current clients is caught up and obligated and I have some time, I can come out and we can have a meeting and discuss what needs to be done. But my priorities are my current customers, and I have to meet their needs before I can even think about doing anything else. So, and we've had that before. We've had clients over the past few months who who call and they want something right away. And I tell them, well, look, if you need something right away, you're probably going to need to look elsewhere, because we have already current customers with months of things scheduled out. So if something you need right away, feel free to look somewhere else. If you want to wait and get on my list, I could put you on my list. This is back in, I think, December. I said, if you want to get on my list, I can probably get to you in April. But, you know, if you need it before then, you know, I recommend you find someone else. I mean, that's what I tell them. I mean, I'm realistic with them. I'm not going to tell them, oh, we'll come out next week, because realistically, I know even before all this happened, we are so behind with everybody waiting to the last minute.
Windows 10 upgrades?
Yes.
Yep.
I still have people that ordered servers in November we haven't done yet. They're sitting in my office.
You
still
have servers you haven't done?
Yes. I've got two left that I haven't even touched that were ordered in November. And I told them, you got to pay half up front before we order it, and then I'll put you on the list. I said, but I've already got five or six in front of you, so I'm already behind, because I told one of them we'd probably get to them now, this week. But that's not happening, because we're a little behind because of all that's going on. So, yeah, I told them, you're going to be out months. I've got two more. So, but we've had people who are, well, now it might be on hold, but we've got more people who were going to order stuff. And it's not just a server. A lot of my clients have waited so long that they ordered new servers and new workstations at the same time. All of it together, which for me, I love it.
Right.
Because I can get it all set up in my office. I'm not doing a migration. One, I don't like migrating SPS to Straight Server 2019. I'll do the email migration.
Oh, but it's easy.
The problem is I don't like migrating a lot of junk, because they have such old stale stuff. I can set it all up in my office, everything, create user accounts, do everything. And I'm not talking 100. If it was a lot of users, I would do a migration.
Right.
But most of them are like at the most 15, 20 users. I can stage all of it at my office, join them all to domain, load all their office software, load everything. And when I come, all I got to do is transfer data and I'm done.
All right.
So I love doing it that way when they order it all together. I love it.
So did they order workstations, and are those workstations sitting at your office also?
The two that I left just ordered servers.
Okay.
So, but one of them also involves a move. So they're moving from one city to another city. Here's the thing. They have half their workstations in one city, half in another. The people in the city without the server remote into a desktop where the server is.
Okay.
So let's say
all of them have a desktop where the server is, so they each individually remote into their separate desktop, or do they all remote it into the same desktop?
They all had their separate desktop, okay, because when it started, they only had one city.
Okay.
And half of them, I say half, it's only like 10 people. Five of them left to go to another city. And they said, what can we do? We said, we gave them a quote for a terminal server or new workstations. Just remote into the other workstation. They opted to just get the workstations instead of the terminal server. So they just remote into their remote workstation. So now the server is going to go in the new location. So we're going to have to rework a few things, but that's going to be a whole different thing. The other one's just a migration. Shouldn't be bad. But yeah, I mean, I'll be glad when these things are done, because we had so many boxes sitting at our office, servers, workstations for months. We could hardly walk.
Hmm.
We had so much stuff. Now all that's left is well, three servers. One of them being, well, three servers, sorry. It's just never ending, all this stuff going on. And this is not even counting. We have so many clients who still don't want to pay to upgrade their stuff. I'm talking server 2008, Not server 08R2, server 2008.
Ouch. I don't think I've got anybody that bad anymore.
They don't want to upgrade. They don't want to pay. But I do like it. I think I might have mentioned this before. A client called saying, yeah, we need to upgrade QuickBooks. I said, oh, okay. Great. What version are you going to? They said like 2020 or something. I said, great, I'll send you a quote. Has no quote for all new workstations and all new servers. So what's all this for? I said, you want to upgrade to 2020, right? Yeah. Well, that doesn't work. They don't support Windows 7. Your servers don't support it. You need all new stuff. That's what happens when your stuff's all 8 years old. Yeah. I love having that conversation with people. We deservered a client this week, which we don't do much, but we deservered, went from a domain to a just a peer-to-peer real group setup.
Oh.
Yeah.
How'd that feel?
Actually, I liked it because this client, he is old and he is supposed to be retiring.
It's one client, one person, an old dude?
It's, well, okay, so he said it was two. He said it was him and his secretary, legal secretary.
Yeah.
But it's actually four. So four computers, two of them for a different company, but in the same building, but the same people. I don't know. He said they're separate, but they're not separate. Okay. They're together. So we moved them from just a server to a workstation, peer-to-peer workstation. So it's actually very nice because that server was very old and it kept locking up and it kept having problems. So I'm actually very glad we got rid of their server.
So do you have a NAS for them to share documents, or are they sharing between the stations?
I put a workstation in with another solid-state drive. I got the mob on there. Only two of them access the shared files, her and the lawyer. And the lawyer doesn't even access the files. All he does is email. So she's the only one really accessing the files, but he can if he wants to. So, yeah.
All right. Have you heard of a company called Uplevel Systems?
I'm not. What is that? Uplevel?
Yeah. So this is a company, and I forget how we met. So probably about, was it a month ago? I got an email and got introduced, and I actually got their appliance. Actually, it must have been longer than about, because I've had a box about 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe. And it is an all-in-one appliance that not only is a firewall, but it also does all the things that, you know, some of these appliances are trying to do now with the site-to-site VPN. They're now including a drive inside the appliance for file server where you can turn it into a NAS. This appliance also does directory services. So it's not full Active Directory, but it does enough that if you've got a few stations, you can put directory services on it. So I installed it. I haven't done all of the stuff with it yet. It looks nice. And I'm going to have the live show with them next Monday, where we're going to go do a live demo with everything. But it seems, you know, for a small customer that, you know, you don't want to do a separate NAS and they, you know, have a couple hundred megs worth of or gigs worth of data. The NAS drive comes in 1 terabyte or 5 terabyte sizes. You could do load balancing. There's cloud backup built in. So if something does happen to the appliance, they can virtualize to another appliance pretty quickly.
This is all built into their UTM?
Their UTM,
firewall device?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Interesting. I'm looking at their site. Is this uplevelsystems.com?
That is it. Yep.
Okay. I like on their site they use purple cables. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do they send you those purple cables?
Yes.
Or is it, oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I see purple highlights on their models. I like it. It's all purpley.
Yep. So I have the appliance. It came with a Wi-Fi access point, which I'm not going to use.
Okay, so does your access point have to work with their UTM, or can it work just as a standalone access point?
So there's Wi-Fi utilities built into the UTM that will work with their access points specifically. So if you want to truly have it integrated, because it's PoE and it does some other stuff, that. But if you want to use your own access points, you just treat it like a regular switch.
But if you want to use their access points, you have to have their...
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, well, that's how WatchGuard used. I'm not sure if WatchGuard is still that way. I know WatchGuard, if you had, you know, to have...
I need to check, because it's their... Oh, I need to... You know what? I think we're going to do our first type of pause with white space. So hang on just a second and let me go grab it, because the access point is branded. It's not 100% there. So,
oh, okay.
Hang on just one moment, please. Please hold. And we're back. With the magic of internet. So yeah, so the access point, it's got their logo on the front.
Uh-huh.
But it's actually an Ingenious.
Okay. Because it looks like an Ingenious one. Yeah. Okay. All right. So I wonder if you can use it as a standalone access point, or if it's somehow coded only to their UTM.
It may be. That's a question I'm going to ask them when I have them on the show. But I didn't even think to integrate Wi-Fi or even look at it, because I'm so into Ruckus that I'll be using that. And I still have Open Mesh. I haven't completely switched over to the Datto networking appliances yet, although I probably will need to do that at some point.
So that UTM, or they sent you a UTM, I wonder if it comes with an access point whenever you buy it, or if that's a bundle?
Well, there's different bundle kits.
Okay.
That much I know.
I'm looking online. I don't see.
Well, you know, they're not going to show. Here's the thing. They are completely channel based, so you won't find anything with pricing or their setup or anything online. That way, if your customers.
I see. A Kerry Holzman favorite.
Yes, he loves that. And of course, you know, so the last few shows I've done have all been Kerry Holzman favorites, because I did the, you probably haven't listened to the Domotes show that I did. No. So it's basically another network monitoring appliance that you can put on site at a customer system. And I wanted to put my logo on it so that customers wouldn't go looking for it.
Hmm. You know, when I listened to that show you had with Kerry, and mm-hmm. he was expressing his disdain for this channel-only product, I think it was, what was it? He was talking about the,
We were talking about SnapAV.
SnapAV, yeah.
And the Wattbox.
And one of his comments, he said, you can go to a car dealership, any car dealership, and buy a car. But you know what? Isn't that the epitome of channel-only? Because if I want to buy a Ford vehicle, I have to go to a Ford dealership. I can't go to a Ford factory and buy a Ford. I've got to go to a dealership, right?
Right. Unless you buy used.
Right, but you can buy anything used.
Yeah.
But, I mean, new, I can't go to Ford's website and look up what their cost is. I can go to a dealership and see what their price is. So his reference of comparing it to a car, I think, is actually proving the point of the channel only method.
Well,
because
yeah.
Car dealership is just like an authorized seller.
Right. And just like, for instance, if you need specific parts, a lot of times you have to go back to the manufacturer or the dealer to get those parts.
Yeah. I mean, they may be readily available, but you're still going to an authorized, somebody who's got a relationship with the manufacturer to sell you those parts.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was funny. I kind of asked him that question not to get into an argument with him.
I say discussion.
Discussion. Yeah. But I like sometimes to hear him, because here's the thing, because sometimes he does stuff just to be devil's advocate.
Right.
And sometimes he does stuff because that's him and that's what he wants to do. And with his model of how he supports clients, it works. But for people like me, it doesn't work there. I mean, there were products, I forget, I was looking at something just the other day. And once I found out that it was something that people could go on Amazon and get themselves, I said, no, I'll look elsewhere.
Yeah.
And it's just a philosophy. I don't want customers to be able to go out and price me for everything because that is the world we live in. Now, granted, there may be a point in time where we just live with it and that's the way it is. But being able to provide certain services and things that, you know, require expertise, you know, I don't want the customer just to run out and buy a firewall, you know, a Netgear, you know, router and think that they're going to do the same thing as a SonicWall or a WatchGuard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They're different approaches. Look, I mean, I was going to say, Carrie is one of my favorite people. I love when I get together and with Carrie and talk to him. He's one of my favorite people. So it's just definitely a different approach to, but they all work. They all work. It's just a different approach.
Well, remember, I think when we got down to it, one of his things is he doesn't want to deal with sales tax. He doesn't want to deal with the man.
I don't like dealing with sales tax either. If I was on my own, I wouldn't want to deal with it either. No, I don't have to deal with it. That's not my, in my company, that's not my, I don't have to worry about it.
Right.
I have people for that. So.
Well, I can tell you. So the wife, we just paid sales tax yesterday, and the wife in Florida, and I don't know if you have this there, but Florida a year ago did this thing where they now have a surcharge. There's a 1% surcharge for every county. And then each county can have their own additional surcharge or even less of a surcharge. So for instance, I've got some counties where they have a 0.5% for this and then a 0.5% for that. I've got, you know, Miami-Dade County, that's 2%. And so when we file the taxes, we actually have to calculate and we have to collect the appropriate tax for each county. So I've got customers, you know, across the state in Tampa and Orlando, which have different tax rates. So I have to put on the invoicing the different tax. Oh, it's a mess. And so.
Yeah, it's a mess. And then you've got to make sure you pay the appropriate sales tax authority for this county and this county.
So I get where he's coming from that perspective. But again, I did say it at the end, there's enough of a benefit for me where I'm getting enough margin and I'm getting customers that, you know, they want me to take care of all that stuff for them. That it works for me.
Yeah. If I can say, if I was on my own, I would probably lean toward Carrie's approach because really, let's say somebody says that I want to buy a computer. Okay. So right now I go to Tech Data or Synnex, buy the computer, charge the customer. But if I was on my own having to worry about this stuff, I could charge consulting for the person. Let me connect to your computer. I'll help you go online. I'll help you pick the right computer. I could charge consulting time for that. So if it takes a half an hour to pick a computer, you know what? I could charge a half an hour consulting.
Yep.
So that's my markup right there. You're paying the actual cost, but I'm getting my markup, so to say, as my consulting fee to make sure you bought the right computer.
And then you're free to go do something else.
Yep. So
you don't have to worry about shipping it to your office and then, you know, reshipping it to the customer or building it or whatever. They order it. When it comes in, they call you. You go out. You charge by the hour. And I find out
that buy their own stuff. I just tell them, ship it to me. Ship it to me or bring it to me because I got to prep it.
Right.
I'm not going to go sit on site doing updates. So ship it. A lot of them ship it to me because for some reason they want to buy their own stuff. Speaking of buying their own stuff, I had a client. He has all old garbage, like 8 or 9 years old. And he said, can I upgrade these? And I said, well, what do you mean by upgrade? If you mean replace, yes, you can upgrade them. I gave him a quote for new computers. And I think it was 7 computers.
Yeah.
I didn't hear back from him. So I called the receptionist girl and I said, hey, did y'all get that quote? Yeah, he's going to buy his own computers online. I said, okay. All right. And they called and they said, we're going to get them. It was like a Monday. We're going to get them like on a Monday night. Can y'all come install them Tuesday morning? I said, no, I can't. Oh, why not? I said, because I need to get those computers. I have no idea what you bought. I have no idea how much cleanup and updates I'm going to have to do on them. So you get them to me and I will do all the prep here. That way when we come on site, it's less time on site. I don't have the manpower to have someone sit there and do all the updates and all the BIOS updates and driver updates for hours and hours on end. So you get them to me. Then once I have them and prep them and update them, we'll schedule an install. So, oh, by the way, they didn't come in Monday night. They came in like Thursday. So they didn't even order them yet when they asked me to come Tuesday morning. So I get them, and it's from some refurbished place online. They're Dell, refurbished Dells. They're all scratched up and everything. So on the desktop, it's got whatever, I'm not going to say the company. It's got the company, it's all branded. It's got warranty information. Click on that, warranty information. It's warranty 30 days from the ship date that the company ships it. Okay. So it was 5 days before it got to me. I had to prep them. They're still sitting in the office because they postponed the install. So by the time he gets them, if he even gets them, he might have a week of warranty left. Hmm. And I looked up the Dell service tags because you can go to warranty and right. See original ship date. These things are all 7.5 years old. So he replaced 8 to 9 year old computers with 7.5 year old computers with what is going to amount to a week's worth of warranty.
Well, I mean, hey, it's an upgrade, right?
Yeah, I call them more lateral, I guess, but yeah.
Well, but are they Microsoft authorized refurbished?
They are.
With solid state drives?
No. Not solid state drives.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah, so they're not very, I mean, I went to the site. They didn't have any more comparable to what he got, but I'm guessing from the price list that I saw, he probably paid $250 a piece for these computers.
So I did that one time and I won't do it again.
I hope all of his computers break 2 weeks later. Because I told him not to do that. I gave him quotes for brand new computers with 3 year warranties. They weren't overpriced. I think they were like $800-$850 a piece because all I do is run a web-based client. So, but I wanted something that's going to last.
Right.
They weren't expensive. And of course, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, there's a shortage of computers right now.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, the price is up now. I just quoted two for $875.
Yeah. The prices are up. Everything's back ordered. So, I mean, it's, people do that. I don't feel sorry for him if it blows up in his face. I really don't. If he calls me with any issue with that computer, I'm going to say, I think on that desktop, I saw a warranty and technical support link. You need to give them a call.
Yeah.
I looked at the company, just did a Google search for them and read a few reviews.
Was this on Amazon or eBay? Because you're fine.
Oh, no, they have their own site.
Oh, they have their own site. Okay.
Oh, yeah. They've been in business for a while.
And how did he find them? Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how he found them. But, you know, I don't think the company is trying to cheat anybody. They make a business selling refurb computers. I mean, obviously there's a market for it. I don't think it's a company's fault. They're supplying what customers want. Customers want cheap computers.
Right.
They're supplying it. I don't blame the company at all. But the reviews that I read were pretty funny. Like one guy reviewed it saying, you know, I run my business on these computers and they failed a month after I bought them. Okay. Why are you trying to run a business on an old refurb computer you bought online? That's your fault. That's not their fault. I mean, computers break, especially old ones.
That's why they only have a 30-day warranty.
Yeah. From shipment date. From shipment date, no less. Not because they can easily track when you're going to get it.
Right.
It's from shipment date. That's what's even funnier. So I don't blame the company. I mean, and the thing is, if that was me, because we have clients who get rid of old computers all the time like that. I guess, because we were authorized Microsoft refurbish, whatever. We were a while back. We didn't renew it. But I guess I could reapply and sell this stuff. But you know what? I wipe the drives and I throw that junk away because it's junk. I don't want to sell it again. Oh, that's just me. Maybe somebody else will sell it. Obviously, people do, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't try and sell it again.
Yeah, depending on the business. Now, what I have done, so D&H has sometimes where you can go on and find HP excess equipment, which usually are computers that they specially configured for somebody, and either they got shipped and returned because they weren't used or something, so they don't sell them as new, but they sell them as excess. So they're in, you know, I consider those between the refurb and new. And I've done that, but I only use those computers for branch office computers. So for my customers where they may have an entire branch office that remotes into a terminal server at the main office, I will use those computers for that.
Step up from a terminal,
right?
Basically.
Right. I won't use them for a domain computer or, you know, a key personnel type station.
Yeah, where you got to reload programs. All you got to do is reload a remote desktop connection or copy a remote desktop connection, that's nothing.
If it dies, you just swap it out and throw another one on. Yeah, so it's basically a terminal. So that's the only time I've done those.
Yeah.
Because, I have six computers here, and these are nice computers. These are HP Z230 workstations, so they're high level. They're Core i7s. They are less than 2 years old. So my financial company, that they just did a complete network refresh because the Zurich office made them do thin clients.
Zurich? You think Zurich?
Yeah.
Like in Germany,
yes,
Zurich?
Yes, that's the home. Yeah, their home. Their home company is based in Zurich.
Have you visited the home company yet? Did you do it on site?
No, I'm working on it.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I was trying to get to New York first because this office is actually a satellite of the New York office.
Oh, I'd rather go to Germany first.
Well, I didn't know there was a Zurich office at the time.
Oh, really? That high level? I need to know. Don't worry about Zurich.
And there's a Hong Kong office.
I don't want to go there right now.
So I'm freaking out. I got to figure out a way to get to all of these. But I'm just a subcontractor for them. So I'm, you know, nobody. But I've got these six computers that are really, really nice. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to use them for one of my customers. And, you know, throw in, they came with 128 gig solid state drives and a 1 terabyte mechanical drive. Yeah. So I had to wipe them. So right now they're just sitting there wiped, but I may get some 500 gigs.
120, is that an M.2 or what kind of 128?
No, they were 2.5 SATAs.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Hmm. Yeah. Well,
but I got those. Here's the thing. I got those at no cost.
Well, that's, you can't beat that.
So I figure I'll throw a, you know, a Samsung 256 in there, you know, load it up and Windows 10. And there'll be good remote stations for like $299 or $399.
Yeah. So a lot of times I don't know where I got them from, but they're these Kingston enclosures.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when I get a computer that I have to upgrade the drive, I'll take out that 256 or 128. And I have a bunch of those Kingston enclosures, USB external, and I'll just throw them in there. I just use those as just carrying around thumb drives. I mean, they're bigger than a thumb drive, but they're still, I have a lot of those. I use those for that.
So I just tried to buy one of those for, I have an M2 that I had to take out. And so I'm like, oh, let me buy a little enclosure. And of course, I bought a cheap one just because since it was my first time trying.
I got one. I love it. I'm looking on Amazon right now to see the one I bought.
Because, yeah, that would be great. I've got like five or six of those 128s. So you got a Kingston enclosure on Amazon or from...
For the M.2, though?
Oh, the M.2, I'm going to figure something else out.
Oh, because I got an M.2 enclosure that I love. I use that most of the time. But I don't know where I got those Kingstons. They came with something. They might have came with some drives that I bought, and I just...
Really?
Yeah.
From a distributor or from...
Yeah, I think. I don't even... I just saw them in my desk one day. I thought, what is this from? So I just started sticking a bunch of extra drives in there and using them as my own little portable drives.
Yeah, you got to send me that.
But the external, the M.2 one I bought, I'm trying to find it on Amazon, but that was I use that most of the time. It's a little bit smaller.
Yeah, that was the whole reason I got it. I mean, the one I got was like $12.99. So I didn't buy the cheap one because there's a ton under $10. And so I, of course, do the thing that I really tell customers not to do. I went
shot by price, yeah.
Well, but I also did by average customer review, four stars and up. But I probably should have went on the Facebook or in one of these groups and asked the techs, hey, what do you guys use when you need enclosures?
I can't find the one I did, but if I hear the name, I would know it. I think it might have been one that Carrie recommended, actually.
Really? In one of his videos?
It would have been on a podcast somewhere. Now I see StarTech has one. I like StarTech stuff usually. StarTech has one, $27. That's not the one I have.
So I was using theirs for the 3.5 enclosures, and
here's the one I have.
The one that I was using, the drives would, you know, you have to get those little sticky pads so the drive doesn't move and the connection would loosen up. So there would be times you'd stick it in and it wouldn't acknowledge. And that frustrated me with the StarTech one.
All right. It was Glow Trends. That's what I have.
Globe Trends?
Glow. G-L-O.
Yep.
I'm trying to get a link. A stupid site messed up. I'm on Amazon. Okay. Glow Trends. This is what I have.
Is it the M.2 one? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, M.2 NVMe. It's got a blue strip down the middle.
Okay.
If you search for Glow Trends M.2, I don't know why I can't get a link for this. Oh, wait. Maybe
of course. That's $55.
Is it really? I'm seeing it for $35.
Well, that's the first one that comes up. The sponsored one's $55.
I sent you a link. I sent you a link.
Yeah, here's $35.
Yeah, that's what I have. Of course, mine doesn't have the little scorpion on it, but I think that's just a newer model. I mean, it worked perfectly. It's my everyday one.
All right, and it's the NVMe only. So it's the MT. Because that was the other thing. I tried to buy the one that would accept all of the different
versions. I haven't had luck with those. I tried some of those before I got this one that were universal.
Okay, so you did what I did. Okay. Don't be looking down on me.
I don't know if I shopped on price, but I did try to get a universal one, but those didn't work. I had to get this one specifically for that, and it worked.
See, we're in the same boat. I'm just a little behind you on the path.
I tried to shop on more compatibility, but in the end, I got the. It's only worked for that type of drive, but it works well.
All right, adding this to my cart now. I'll save it for later, and I'll have the wife buy it using my Amazon link, which you probably never do.
I guess I do.
Said with conviction.
Look, I try to remember. But usually, you know, that's the thing. Everybody promotes their Amazon
link. Yes, right? They do. Yes, we all
but
do.
But here's the thing. I'm going to tell you from just a listener standpoint. It is hard to remember because usually when I buy something on Amazon, it's like, oh, let me get this. Let me get it. I'm done. It's hard to remember to go there first and do that.
It is. And so I had to train the family to save it as a shortcut. And when you want to go to Amazon, click the shortcut.
Yeah, I'm going to need to do that. Because although, I have it.
Although I am trying to work. You know what? I'm not going to say it because I probably won't do it. And people will be like.
But if you say it, you have to do it.
That's right. So I am working on a way to make it easier for people to go back and look for things that have been talked about on the show without having to go to the individual show to find the show link.
I see. So something on the website, maybe?
So maybe, well, yes.
No, because it's PodNuts. You don't have a PodNuts Pro.com.
Oh, man.
Whoops.
No, I don't. And I can't, like, you know, undermine door that bad. But I am thinking of something like that because here's the thing.
Well, okay, here's the thing. You can get podnuts.com and redirect to a podnuts.com slash something.
Well, I need to do a couple of things. Well, I got to talk to Dora about it because, you know, podnuts.com already gets overloaded with all the podcast storage. So I need to alleviate some of that stuff from him. But I also want to put, you know, I need to have a page where people can go and, you know, things for like downloads whenever we have, you know, downloaded, you know, PDF documents and guides and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I want them to go to one place to find that. You want to go to, just go to the Amazon store here. Just go here. You know, I'm figuring that stuff out. I had a lot of time to think while the wife was sick.
Yeah. So now that I've said it, you've got to go register pilotpro.com. I just searched. It is available as of right now. Okay. And you know that if this airs and you haven't registered, someone's going to register it.
Yes.
So as of right now, that site is available. So anybody listening.
Well, wait a minute. Is it available and somebody has already got it and they're trying to sell it?
Oh, no. It's available. I can buy it right now for $15. I use DirectNick for buying domain names. So DirectNick shows $15.
All right. So I'll work on that.
I could squat on it. I mean, maybe I'll add to my cart right now.
Yeah. Sucker. All right. So we are at our customary point in the show where I try to cut us off when we usually talk for a half an hour later. So
is it really?
Yes.
Wow.
So why don't we do this? Because I do want to talk some Florida man stories with you. So why don't we take a quick little break and I will end off the show right now. We'll and I got to do it because my air went off and it's getting hot in here.
You have it on a schedule?
Yeah, everything's automated in my office as much as possible. So the air went off and I'm starting to sweat. So ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to PodNuts Pro with special guest Matt Rainey. And nothing really special in this show except don't go buy PodNutsPro.com. And we'll see you next time. Holla.